Today on the Rise of the Challenge podcast.
I feel a hard hit to my throat, and my initial reaction was like, whoa, this guy hit me hard. Like, I grew up with three older brothers. Like, this, literally my initial reaction was like, this guy knows how to hit. And so I stood up, I was like, dude, what the hell? And then I felt another punch to my arm and chest. So then I turn around and I push him. And as I push him, I feel cut on my wrist and ear. And instantly it dawned on me, like, I've been stabbed. Those weren't punches. So I started yelling, I've been stabbed.
Welcome to the Rise to the Challenge podcast. Joined today, he's an entrepreneur and survivor. It's Adam Lucero. How are you doing today, Adam?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Glad to be here.
We're so excited to have you on the show to talk about your rise to the challenge. What we like to do with all of our guests is go right to the beginning. Talk about where you're from and what did you like doing growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small city called Camarillo between LA and Santa Barbara. High school was a track and cross country athlete and then got a scholarship to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Went there for 4 years and then, yeah, essentially my story happened, which I know you know, but your audience does not yet. And then fast forward to today and I help men kill procrastination forever so they relentlessly conquer life.
Talk about getting into track and field across country. Were you always an outdoor kind of person, liked running, things like that?
No. Running sucks. I wish I was good at any other. I mean, I'm good at other sports, but I wish I had that talent in other sports. But yeah, no, I mean, like, cross country is literally just like the way I always thought about it is our sport is other sports' punishment, to put it in perspective. Like, no one enjoys it, you know? I guess we enjoy some aspect of it, but anyways, I have three older brothers who are all really good at running. So I kind of just knew it was probably likely going to be a chance I was good at running.
Was there any achievements that you had for yourself during those times?
Yeah. So I mean, in high school, I ran a 9:14 2 mile. So like, and then I think like a 4:22 mile or something like that. And then yeah, college only got 1 year in there, but had some decent races in there.
Was going to Cal State Polytech the goal, or did you ever have like that dream job of what you wanted to pursue, but at a different university?
No, I mean, I was like, so I was the worst student there possibly was. Like, I just hated school. Like, I don't, every aspect of school just made me hate it. Like, I hated sitting in classes. I hated doing the work. I hated everything about it. I was like, this just is not for me. With that being said, I had terrible grades, kind of just cheated my way through high school. And so I always knew I was going to end up with a scholarship somewhere. I was like, that's how I'm getting in. But I was like, we'll see where I end up getting a scholarship too. All depends on how fast I ran. So
what were you pursuing in college?
Business. If you're talking about like degree business with information systems, but at the end of the day, like nothing I learned there even correlates to what I do now. And, but, you know, you get some experience. I'm just not a big college advocate for it, unless it's a certain like degree you're going for like engineering or something, but.
Do you kind of, looking back at that time, wish that you took a different path when it came to college, or would you rather?
Yeah, you might cut out, but I got the general gist there. So I'd say that no, because it's like I wouldn't change anything because I like where my life is and everything led me to this point. But I guess if I were to go back, I mean, yeah, I guess some aspect of me would say like, yeah, I mean, just going into learning, like if I had spent those 4 years studying an entrepreneur, working side by side with them, someone who's like at 500K or a million or 2 million, like somewhere in the early stages of their business, I could have learned so many more skills that would probably propel me a little bit forward. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, everything happens for a reason. I mean, if I didn't graduate college, I wouldn't have been in the situation that happened to me where I got stabbed in the throat at a movie theater. And then I wouldn't be having all the knowledge about this that I do now. So, you know, that makes sense.
As you just mentioned, a big part of your story, talk about the moment leading up to that moment.
Yeah, so pretty much I just finished graduating Cal Poly. I was staying at my aunt's place in Northern California because I had accepted a sales job in up there. Knew no one in the area, so I was at her place. She said I'd be out of the house for 8 hours. So I was like, okay, well, I got to go kill time. I'll go watch a movie. So went there by myself and yeah, probably 15, 20 people in the theater. It's like 3 p.m. on a Wednesday or something like that. And lights dim on or dim out and movie starts. I'm just sitting there watching it. Then all of a sudden, I feel a hard hit to my throat. And my initial reaction was like, whoa, this guy hit me hard. Like, I grew up with three older brothers. Like, this literally my initial reaction was like, this guy knows how to hit. And so I stood up. I was like, dude, what the hell? And then I felt another punch to my arm and chest. So then I turn around and I push him. And as I push him, I feel cut on my wrist and ear. And instantly it dawned on me, like, I've been stabbed. Those weren't punches. So I started yelling, I've been stabbed. I've been stabbed. The lights turn on. I see the guy who stabbed me run away. So he stabbed me in the throat with a chef knife, the ones that get bigger, closer to the handle, went halfway through my throat. Probably see it there, depending on the angle. Got me deep in my arm right here. You can see it right here. Punctured my lung. So I'm bleeding out. Take off my shirt, wrap it around my neck. I'm like holding the blood in. And then these two older women come running up. They're like, what should we do? I tell them, just put pressure on my neck. So they're doing that. And then I hear someone say, should we call 911? I lose it. I'm so pissed off. I yell back to them as I'm bleeding on the floor. I go, yeah, you should fucking call 911. If you don't call them in this situation, when the fuck would you? Like, I just had so much rage in me. Like, that was like the biggest emotion I had at that time. And so paramedics come and they start asking me all these questions. What year is it? What's your name? Who's president? And I get it. They're making sure I'm conscious and aware of what's going on. But the whole time I'm like, can you guys get to know me later? How about we like solve the problem at hand here? Like, we can go on a date after, whatever this is. Okay. 21 questions after. Let's save my freaking life. And then so they're like, all right, let's get them up on the stretcher. And so they pin me up on there. And I feel all my wounds worse than the initial stabbing because I don't have the adrenaline in me at this point. So they start carrying me down and all these stairs. So I'm in like the top row essentially. And so for every stair there was, I felt like I got stabbed in all those places. And I kid you not, like I remember just looking at the ceiling, holding myself like this and trying not to scream my guts out. Like it was so freaking painful. It was like nothing I've ever experienced, like the level of pain. It was really brutal. And so they get me down to the ambulance and I start to relax. I'm like, okay, the paramedics got me. Like, you know, they know what they're doing. And as soon as I get that thought, I feel a cold rush through my entire body. And it dawned on me. I was like, I lost a lot of blood. I could definitely die right now. So I see them come over with oxygen masks. I remember thinking, do not fall asleep in this situation. You're not supposed to fall asleep. So they put over my face. I'm out. Within seconds, sure, it was powerful, whatever it was. So I wake up 7 days later from an induced coma. And I'm living off tubes. Plugged in everywhere into my body, nose, mouth, I'm down there, everywhere, okay? And so I was just as weak and broken as you could possibly get. So physically, I used to be 170 pounds, like 8% body fat. At this point, I'm like 130 pounds, so lost. I'm just skin, sticks and bones. I couldn't think clearly, whether it was because I was on drugs or whatever it was, like, I just literally could not solve anything. Like if someone said, I don't pay you $2,000 if you tell me what 11 times 11 is, I would have been like, I got $0 because I had an answer in that. Like just literally my brain just literally felt like it would not work. It was really difficult to explain. And then eventually I started to be able to do a little bit more things, but my energy was just depleted. Like, I kid you not, eventually I was able to start eating normal food again, which it took a while to get to that point. But even after a few weeks when they're like, okay, you can eat normal food again, I literally would fall asleep at my plate because I was so tired. I would wake up at my plate, finish eating my meal and be like, it was like a mission to eat. Like, it was like, it wasn't like, okay, I need to eat. It was like, shit, mm-hmm. I got to eat. Like, let me clear everything out here. Like, let me focus on this. Yeah. And so ultimately I was left wondering, like, can I really accomplish everything I originally thought I would accomplish? Like, I've always been ambitious. Can I still run a business around my passion? Can I help others? Or is my potential destined to rot away with my ambitions? And so I remember contemplating these questions, but then I'd actually discovered my legs didn't work. So when that happened, something ignited me. Like, I just got so pissed off. I was like, I used to be a Division I track athlete. Now my legs don't work. And I was like, I'm not going to let my life succumb to this level of mediocrity. Like, that just like it lit something up in me. I was like, you know what? I can't change what happened to me. All I can choose to do is I'm going to respond forward. And so it was at that point, I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to build myself up again. And so I started studying the secrets of evolution, biology, and psychology that enabled me to build myself up again. And just day by day, week by week, I started building momentum, started learning what kind of foods can boost your energy levels, your cognitive function, what kind of workouts are going to deliver more oxygen to your brain so you think more clearly. And so just within 1 year, I was actually able to run a 459 mile again. I was putting up pretty solid weight in the gym again. And fast forward to 6 more years, and now I help men become the man I help men become the man they have the potential to be so they relentlessly conquer life. And it's all using the same blueprint that I used 5 or 6 years ago.
That day that it happened, did you know the people that attacked you, or have you even had any interaction from court cases and things like that since that day?
So you mean, have I had anything, have I gone back to court for anything relevant?
So did you know that at the time, the people that did attack you, or was it just a random attack and you were the victim of it?
Yeah, I did not know him. So the two women that actually came to help me, they said before the movie started, they were sitting in the back row and he was like one row in front of them, turned around and just stared at them for like 30 seconds or a minute straight, just dogged them out. So they moved seats. So maybe he was going to go get them. Who knows? But ultimately, he chose me.
With the recovery aspect, what was the biggest mission, or did you have like a support system to help you in that? Or did you kind of feel isolated during that?
No, I had a huge support system. So first of all, my entire family, I have 3 older brothers, their wives, my girlfriend at the time, my parents, like all came up there. Friends came, visited me. Besides that, like when I got released, I was able to move in with my mom and she helped me go to appointments, do a lot of different things. And one of my brothers even took off a week of work to come live with me and my mom during this period, just to kind of help me through and help her. So I had a huge support system. So I'm super lucky and grateful.
Did you ever hear news that it was this close to maybe not surviving it and kind of getting those thoughts and like freaking out, because you were in the coma and sometimes it could last longer than 7 days? Well,
the doctors said, if they said literally, if we were to choose exactly where that knife would go through your throat, it would have been that exact spot down to the millimeter. They said half an inch in any other direction, dead, or at best lost my voice. Like, so they're like, that's insane. Like the fact I'm able to talk right now, like, there was literally a chef knife that went halfway through my fucking throat, and here I am talking to you. And besides that, lung puncture deep in my arm. So yeah, I mean, any of those could have killed me, let alone maybe something about the recovery process or when I was close to death.
Rebuilding with the energy, strength. What's been your favorite part about going through that process? Has it been able to kind of mentally prepare you in different ways than you did prior to the attack?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's like nothing can really faze me at this point. Like I've been through worse. Like I don't think I'm going to be through, knock on some freaking wood, but I don't think I'm going to be through worse than that again. So it's like,
hopefully nothing worse
than that. Yeah, for real.
Is there anything from a fitness standpoint that you hope to accomplish as you were Division I track star? Do you hope to show people that I can overcome something, but I'm still going to go out there and accomplish it?
Yeah, I'd say like there's always just been that aspect of helping other people. And I think my story is a big sense of inspiration for a lot of people and can get them through their hard moments, because like I'm no different than anyone else. I wasn't born with anything that anyone that's listening to this doesn't have, you know? So it's like really just getting yourself to a state where it's always a choice too. That's ultimately what it comes down to. You can choose in any exact moment to flip the switch and fucking do what you need to do to conquer life, to become the man that you need to become in order to achieve the life you need to achieve. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this from my own experience, but also helping countless men and people tap into their potential. And like, I have clients who I've worked with, like they tell me they've been procrastinating for 2-3 years. They know exactly what they need to do, can't consistently do it. They just feel like they can't get out of their own way. And within 1 day, boom, it's like a new person. 2 months later, they get a promotion to make $50,000 per month at their job too. Not even like an entrepreneur job, but like it's just crazy. And the confidence that comes with that power, it's really, I just feel like I help people tap into their power. And I think my story is a big part of getting them inspired and to realize, like, Luke, if I was able to change it in an instant, you can change your life too.
You talked about helping men with procrastination and other things. Was procrastination something that challenged you and that you overcame?
A little bit, not as much. So I'm a performance coach. I help people from every aspect, whether it's nutrition, fitness, optimizing, literally subconscious mind, anything. But it just happens to be that over the course of my years of serving people, I tend to see that procrastination's the big driving force. And once we get rid of that, everything else just really falls into place, to be honest. So that's why I'm kind of more specializing or niching down into procrastination.
Well, even with procrastination, people always use the excuses. There's always an excuse for doing something or not doing something. And once they're able to fix rationalize, the excuses, they're able to see, wow, I can go do that. Changes in their personal, their educational, professional.
Most people are operating at 10% of their potential, if that. I wouldn't even say 10%, but people listening to this won't even believe it. But it's like, literally, it's like you can get to a state where you don't fall victim to your circumstances. You never make excuses anymore. And that's where the real power comes into play. You know, it's like, that's what separates people that are entrepreneurs that are able to make like hundreds of millions of dollars. Like look at Elon Musk, for example. He's doing what most people deem impossible. Space travel, you know, transferring human consciousness into AI. Do you think he ever runs into roadblocks and challenges? Of course he does every single day, but he overcomes them. He finds solutions because he takes full responsibility for his life. Meanwhile, I couldn't get to the gym because I was tired or I didn't have enough time to work out. Okay, yeah, good one. You know how many people, there's like entrepreneurs that work 16 to 18 hour days, yet somehow they find the time to go hit the gym still. You know, it's like just a matter of falling victim to your circumstances and making excuses or having that victim mentality in a sense. But once you get past that, it's like that's when your true potential becomes unleashed.
Well, even going off of that, where you don't have the time. I mean, Mr. Beast just came out with an interview saying he walked 12,000 steps a day and it was helping him go on this journey. And he's one of the busiest people in content creation. He's out there doing it. So we all can do it. Mm-hmm. As a performance coach, when a client is coming to you, what is the big thing that you see them connecting to you and seeing that you are the right person to be that coach for them?
Sorry, could you re-ask a question or rephrase it? What did you say?
So when a client is searching for a performance coach, when they're coming to you seeing if you are the perfect match for them, what are they connecting to your story? As there's coaches out there, but so you have one of those things where you've been through something. You've gone through and challenged yourself from a performance level where others, they just take classes and say, oh, I can do this, but they haven't really faced anything. Yeah. What are they connecting to you on that base?
Yeah, I'd say that most people, again, I'm just going to reiterate what the clients usually tell me. They just say that the proof is in the pudding, so to speak, right? They're like, you've been through it all. Like you were in a way worse state than I was. And now you're in a place where I want to be. And so they just put it together. And so not only that, but they really feel inspired typically when they hear about the story. So yeah, I would say, does that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, it's you basically said like, it was your story that is connecting to them. Mm-hmm. And I think when someone's finding that person, they want someone that's been through it. Like they've gone through an addiction. They've gone through trauma. Someone's been through it, knows symptoms to go get past it or get through it. Is there anything in your entrepreneurial journey that you're like, I hope to do this in the future, or I want to go into this area or this industry?
So yeah, I'd say eventually, I think the next evolution is going to be first of all, the next evolution is going to be scaling this to a point where the fulfillment and a lot of it's going on without me, and have teams and systems that can deliver good quality. But the next evolution past that is probably going to be business growth orientated. I just like business. I think it's a fun game, especially like it with entrepreneurs that are using like paid ads to sell coaching products. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I think that's probably gonna be the next evolution, but we'll see, you know, that's kind of my vision right now. But at the end of the day, it's like, our desires tend to shift as we progress and through our journey, I would say.
Do you have a dream timeline on when you hope to kind of lead the reins and how you don't have to be in the day-to-day work of it?
Yeah.
Like, fun question when it comes to that.
Yeah, I would say about not even five years. I would say probably like 3 years would probably be the realistic point. 3 years and then 5 years. 3 years to get like a pretty good point where I'm still probably only putting in like 20 hours a week. But then 5 years is where I'm going to try and really get it minimal and then go to the next venture.
If you're looking at your journey, what is one word to describe the journey you have been on?
My initial reaction is going to say challenging, but look, people have a lot more challenging life. Okay. I don't know. I guess there's it's hard to summarize one word to summarize your entire existence.
What's a few words you have? What's a few of them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I had challenging moments, but at the same time, like, I don't like saying that I had a challenging life, because like most of my life was good. Like, so many people's lives have so much, obviously I had this one period of my life where it was really tough, but I was like, besides that, like, and even during that, I had like a great process for recovery and stuff. So I would say it's just honestly a good life. I've been fortunate.
Those people that are saying that a moment in their life is challenging them and they're not able to fulfill their lives and go out there and be themselves, what would you tell that person to kind of change the mindset and really go live your life? Don't let that one moment affect you.
I would say, first of all, when I was in high school and growing up, I was stupid. Like, I was, and I'm not just kidding you, like, I literally was just unintelligent, like stupid. Like, I literally felt like the stupidest person, because if people would talk about things, I just couldn't understand it. Like, I literally used to think I was like stupid, and I was. I didn't just feel like that. But when you make the choice to improve yourself and really focus where you put your attention and energy, you can transform your life. You guys can probably see some of the books right there. I spent 6-7 years of my life. Granted, I'm not saying everyone should do this. It depends on the journey of your life, but I spent 6 or 7 years of my life not going out with friends, not doing anything fun on the weekends, and instead reading all these books so that I could learn the skills and the thought process of people that are ahead of me in life, to understand the concepts that they talk about and see how their brain works. When you just surround yourself constantly with people that are further along than you and have accomplished great things, your mind starts to shift and you start to become those people you listen to. You start to mold to that. And I literally probably spent 6 or 7 years where I was, if I wasn't working, I was reading that. If I wasn't reading that, I was listening to a podcast. Like, I became addicted to personal growth. Like, I don't know. And so the thing is, like, sometimes you might be thinking like, oh, I don't have that motivation. Eventually you will. You just got to freaking start doing it. And after you start noticing the changes in your life, the shifts and how much more confident you feel, and because you're doing the positive things that improve your life, it just starts to be a snowball effect. So anyone can change their life. It's all about making the better choices. How are you spending your time? Because if you're spending your time poorly and you're making poor choices, you're going to get poor results. Your life is the current sum of the choices you've made in the past 5 years. What your life is going to be in 5 years is the sum of the choices you're making right now in this exact moment. Are you, after this podcast, are you going to go play video games? Are you going to go dick around? Are you going to go learn and try and improve yourself and do something that's going to benefit your life? Because if you conquer those small decisions in your day, that's ultimately how you win life.
Have the people around you noticed the growth in you because of the sacrifices you have made and you're learning and doing that personal growth for yourself?
Yeah. People, again, I used to be a weird loser idiot. Like, that's literally, that's how I was. People, and I don't want this to come from a place of ego, but people just respect me more now, whether it's for, I guess, what they perceive I've accomplished or just for how I speak or whatever it may be. But yeah.
Something that our listeners like to do is go even more deeper with the guests. When you're not working, what do you like to do for fun? And what gets you excited every day?
I love video games. I gotta cool it. I'll be on video games trying to, I'm always like top 2%. If I take a video game serious, like, I'll be playing it nonstop till I'm like top 1 or 2% in the game. Like, I just become addicted to it. So I gotta cool it with that. But besides that, just lifting, going on walks, me and my girlfriend watch it. We're pretty home people. So we watch TV a ton. We go for like walks, do our thing. I like bowling, anything that's a competition, like love it. Anything they can prove on, like, I just get addicted to finding things like that. Ping pong's a perfect example. Me and my friend got into ping pong for like 3 months. We probably played like 2 or 3 hours a day. We ended up buying like really nice paddles for it. And then after that, we did a bowling league for like 3 months, probably bowled 2 hours a day for like months on end, close to getting a few perfect games. So I just like something that a game that you can refine your skill in and become better at.
I love hearing that. Because I would be the same way when it comes to bowling, ping pong. Mm-hmm. Like, I get into that competitive field, but it's like fun competition. It's not like you're trying to go
win like an
Olympic medal for it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's nice having a friend that you can compete with there.
What's the games that you're into that's kind of keeping you motivated, getting into that top percent?
So what games do I play, essentially? Video games?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I used to play like StarCraft or Warcraft, or now I play like Counter-Strike when I do play. I tend to like faster paced games, more agile ones. Yeah.
What is the future look like for you? What are you hoping to accomplish in the next few years, both personally and professionally?
Yeah. So from a business standpoint, 10 million a year while working under 2 hours or 20 hours a week. That's going to be what I'll probably have. I mean, I don't know when, so I'm not going to toss my dates out. But spiritually, I want to be at a place where nothing can affect my internal state. No matter what goes on in the external world, nothing can change how I feel internally. And I've had an experience for 2 hours where that was the case. Literally, I was reading the like books like The Power of Now or The Master Secret Whisperer, but I was reading the book for like 2 hours and I just saw, like, I really understood the depth of what they speak of. Because the thing is, we can read the books, but it's like, do we really understand the depth of it? Do we really know what they mean? And the answer is no until you have the necessary experiences. But I've had an experience where it was like 2 hours, like, I kid you not, someone could have came up to me with a gun, shot me in the arm, and I wouldn't even be upset at the person. I wouldn't have given them that satisfaction of being upset. Like, I'd be like, okay, like, that just happened. It is what it is. And so I've had that experience. And so I know that all our mental suffering, our internal turmoil, anxiety, depression, all of it could be ended in an instant, because that's what happened for me for that particular moment. But it's all caused by our thinking mind. And so a good analogy or a good way to thinking about it that really resonates with people usually is like, look at the human species. Like, we're sick. Like, we kill ourselves in the tens of millions, hundreds of millions. No other species really does that, let alone we have depression. We have all this anxiety on a far greater spectrum than any other species on this entire planet. It's not even comparable. And so what separates us from all of the other species? Our prefrontal cortex, our conscious mind. And so that kind of just is a good way I tend to think about it. But until you have the necessary experiences, you're never going to really understand or fully believe what I just said.
The final question I'll ask you, for someone that's listening to this interview based on your journey and experience, what tips or advice would you give them to overcome obstacles, accomplish their goals, and rise to the challenge?
You have to take full responsibility for your life. If you fail to do this, you will never succeed. You will always fall short of the results you want, 100%.
Well, Adam, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about your rise to the challenge. You're inspiring so many people, and we are excited to see what the future looks like for you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Tune in next time. Hear my next guest talk about their rise to the challenge. Remember to follow, subscribe, and all major audio platforms. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to get the latest episodes of the format. What path do you take to accomplish your goals? You have found God.